gonna turn into two. It's gonna turn into you and me. At a quarter to three with four boots under the bed. Yeah, you know where it's headed to. I really shouldn't drink around you. It's a risk, it's a gamble. A little more than I can handle. Just a touch of a fuzz is enough to get me thinking things. I really shouldn't think about you. We end up on the fast track.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single Really Shouldn't Drink Around You with my very special guest, multi-award winning country star Dan Davidson. Alberta's country sensation has created undeniable momentum in the last few years with 6 CCMA nominations, 10 ACMA awards, a gold record, a number one selling Canadian song and record, top 20 charting numbers, and hundreds of performances. It's easy to forget that he is still independent. What an incredible journey he is on since exploding onto the Canadian country scene in 2016 and 17 as the indie story everybody is talking about. Well, wait till you hear what he's got coming up. You will understand why he's got that title. Here to talk about the new single and all the latest projects he's working on is Dan Davidson. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hello, Kim Sear. How are you?
Stranger.
What's new in your world?
Oh, just as busy as you, but not quite the same. Holy cow, you don't have a slowdown button, do you?
No, I need to install one, though. It's getting a little out of control over here.
Just a little bit. Well, I guess you got to strike while the iron's hot, right?
Yeah. That's what I've been saying for 15 years, I think.
I was going to say, and you just keep stoking that fire. You just keep
one day, you know?
Wow, what a year. We had you on in June, and so much has happened again since then. But before I forget, congratulations for Found. Certified gold and approaching platinum status. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's hard to believe, actually. It's not that easy to do as an independent artist, I'll tell you that much.
It's just hard to believe you are still independent, considering yeah. everything that you're doing.
You know, I've been kind of one of the lucky ones because I had a career in rock. As we talked about last time we chatted, that was, you know, it was coming up when the industry was crashing. So it forced me to learn how to do all the things that labels do on my own. So that when I launched my country career, I was kind of ready to hit the ground running, and I'd already made a whole bunch of mistakes in my previous career that I'd learned from and didn't have to make again. So yeah, I was ready to go and, you know, build a team and properly promote things, and was able to keep up to the momentum with that song. So I mean, the stars lined up a little bit, but I was ready for it at the same time.
Well, you're just on fire, I'm telling you, and that's just such a huge accomplishment for that one, and it's such a great song too. You've been so busy since I've had you on the show, as I've said. You've had quite a summer. What has it been like performing? Because I know we were talking about it then, and you weren't sure what shows were going to be coming up, and tell us everything you've been up to.
Yeah, well, you know, it has been a bit of a weird one because, like, a lot of stuff still got canceled this summer, but I think I was sort of ready for that and expecting that. I was able to play a lot of the smaller and medium market festivals, which was great. You know, I still got to be out on stage and making some noise with the guys again, and it felt like it had been forever. And, you know, doing a lot of those small town shows was great, and, you know, we got to play the Calgary Stampede this year.
Which is,
you know,
cool.
In Alberta, it was best summer ever, mm-hmm. which was, in hindsight, probably not a great idea. But at the Stampede, it was great because they, you know, they did rapid testing and all that stuff and proof of vaccination at the door. And I can't tell you how energizing it was to be out on that stage and having thousands and thousands of people just, you know, drinks in the air, singing along to some of the songs. And it was just, it felt so good and felt like, we're back, you know?
Well, it was nice too, because it was all Canadians that were on the bill for that.
It kind of had to be, right? So it was a nice showcase of what we have to offer in this country in country music. And honestly, I didn't think the show suffered at all having no American artists on it. I think there's so much strong stuff happening now, and the fact that we all had to really focus up and you know, hone our skills over the last few years was great, I think. Like, it's for me personally, mm-hmm. it's allowed me to really dive into more of my songwriting and grow my production skills a lot. And it led to a lot of really great opportunities for me this year, to be honest.
Now, you've been busy talking about writing. You've been busy writing with the Roadhammers, Tim Hicks, Gore Bamford, Andrew Hyatt, just to name a few. Tell us about all the writing and the producing you're doing right now.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that you got to do something in the pandemic. And
gee, it was okay, nice... just Gord and, you know, Roadhammers. Yeah.
It was definitely, like, I was pretty focused on my record and making sure I was writing lots. So, you know, as I was writing, I'd hook up with Tim Hicks and we'd write some songs for me, and then we'd have fun and write some songs for him. And same thing with Gord and same thing with the Hammers. And I've just been so close to Clayton Bellamy over the last few years. We've just mm-hmm. become really good friends, just, you know, love working together and get along great. We live pretty close. So, yeah, you know, one thing led to another, and I ended up writing, like, 3 songs on the Roadhammers record with them, and they were nice enough to let me come in and produce 3 too.
I was gonna say, that's on their latest EP, you produced 3 of them.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, it was a little bit scary for me, that because that was my first sort of big artist production gig, and to be honest, like, I think that's the best way to learn in this business, is to jump in out of your depth and figure out how to swim. So I think that was They really gave me a chance there to have an opportunity, so that was great. And from there, you know, I've been working on tons of other things. Right now, I have a song actually that I'm really proud of. There's a local girl in my hometown. Her name's Haley Benedict, and she was just somebody I admired as you know, she's a young artist. She's only like 18 or something, but I've seen her out there just working hard and going to CCMAs, paying for everything herself, and just grinding. So I've been offering to just kind of try and, I guess, kind of mentor, help her out, really, is the thing. Because I just, you know, I want her to have good luck and have good breaks. So I found her a song that was written by Madeline Merlot Emma Lee, who's a really great friend of mine. And we write a lot together. So I produced up this song for Haley. And right now it's looking like it might be a top 30 song for her. It's just flying up the charts.
Very nice. I'm telling you, everything you touch right now is turning to gold. I'm telling you.
And, you know, I hope that's the case.
What a great opportunity for her. You know, that's really, you know, special that you're doing that, because I know the newer artists coming up, it's hard right now. There's so much talent. We've got such a huge pool of talent right now, and they're all so darn good. And it's really hard to get on track, period. When it comes
it is,
to,
and there's less room, there's less opportunities now. It's harder now for a new artist, I think, than it's been in years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I feel like, I'm sure people have done that for me along the way. So it's a little bit of a pay it forward thing. And yeah, I think she's great. I believe in her, so I'm gonna do my best to help her. And and Clayton and I have been getting involved in a whole bunch of other projects too, in different genres.
You and Clayton are very similar that way, because he's been writing so much with other people too. And it's just every time I'm interviewing somebody, oh, Clayton wrote that, or Dan Davidson wrote that, or Clayton, or Dan.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Usually, hopefully a lot of those are together. Yeah, we've actually got a top 20 rock song right now with a band from Saskatoon. And it's weird, you know, Kim, it's like, it's so funny.
Weapons.
They
are one of my favorites. I love those guys. They're really, really
good.
Great. Broken Promises.
Yeah. We did that one, and we have their current one. It's called I Am the Horizon, which is just broke the top 20 in Canada, so we're pretty excited about that.
They're coming on the show, so we're going to be saying Dan, Dan, Dan again.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, no, they're great. Great bunch of guys, and we had a lot of fun. We actually made the record at Clayton's house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're in Saskatoon and I'm in Edmonton, so we just met halfway in Bonnieville at Clay's house and set up a little makeshift studio. Turned out great.
Nice, very nice. Well, you've also produced the current Stingray trending track for Haley, which is what we talked about. You have top 40 in 3 different genres right now.
Yeah, I think that's more over the career. I've had top 40s in 3 genres, but, you know, it's a funny little segue here. The thing I've really been excited about working on this year, which was like a great brain exercise, was I got to write some music for a Korean pop band.
I was just about to mention that. Yeah, you got several songs.
It was so strange. Like, you know, taking off my mid-30s suburban country musician hat and putting on my 14-year-old Korean pop star girl hat is very strange, but it's a good workout.
Wow. Because tell us how that all came about.
Well, I have a great relationship with my publishers in Toronto, and they kind of act as like my songwriting managers. So they'll get me into rooms and you know, set up sessions for me all over the world. I've been to, you know, 8 countries doing songwriting for different artists. And they just send me these briefs where it's like, you know, this artist is looking for a song that sounds something like this. And so I have to, and it's usually the craziest turnaround. It'll be, you know, I have to write the song and produce a almost finished sounding record within like 48 hours. So it's a real challenge, but like I said, like I enjoy that kind of stuff because I find that it helps actually my country writing, because I'll completely change gears and like the palate is just cleansed. I've gotten rid of all the crutches. Yeah, exactly. And so when I come back to it, I'm feeling fresh, and I feel like I got a different perspective on things, and I think that helps. I hope it does.
Well, gosh, if anything out there is just, doesn't matter what you're putting out there, it's just like hitting the top every single time. You've got a top 20 on the first single in Australia now too.
Yeah, you know, that was really cool. And that was another kind of thing that Clayton and I stumbled into is, so the whole thing was, this is the story on my Australia push lately. I've had, it started like this. So Clayton asked me if I wanted to write some songs with him and this girl that he knew from Australia.
Love her.
Haley Jensen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we wrote a couple songs and for her record, and then I ended up producing them. And it was great. We just had a good time. She's a great singer, really nice girl, very like-minded. And, you know, just she's on a really great trajectory down there. She's got the number one country album in Australia right now, which is, I have 2 productions and 2 songwrites on, which is great.
I told you, got her coming on the show, Dan again.
Oh, nice. Oh, this is going to be so good for my ego coming up. I love it. So with Haley, yeah, you know, like I had this song out with the Hammers in Australia while I was working on stuff with Haley, and she was a great resource for me to like make sure that I was getting on the right radio stations and all this stuff. And the song did really well. It was top 10 down there. And then for my next song, I just had this song ready to go. And I've had it for a while, actually. This is my current single, Shouldn't Drink Around You. But it just wasn't, I didn't feel like the timing was right. And when she kind of came into my sphere of knowledge, I was like, oh, this would be a perfect duet and the perfect time to strike while the iron's hot in Australia. So called Haley, and somehow from halfway around the world, we recorded a song together and
so
we made it work. And now it's out. And, you know, in Australia, it's starting to climb up the charts, and we're really excited.
Wow, I'm telling you, and it is such a fun song. We're going to be playing that one in just a little bit. We played a snippet of it, you know, at the beginning of the show because it's such a cool tune. Really, really cool tune. Now you have number 1 on the Kix network as well.
Yeah, so that's like the way it works in Australia is they have a whole, like 4 kind of major country music radio networks, and Kix has been a real champion for me, and I've had lots of chats with the main program director there, and he seems to be a friend, so... Yeah, they've been kind of leading the way, and it's been, I've had a number 1 on their network, and right now I think I'm at number 6 with Really Shouldn't Drink Around You, so we're moving on up.
Holy cow, I'm telling you, I'm just going to keep going down the list, because
it's just sure, like... yeah, we got a list, let's do it.
Okay, you book shows in Spain and France for 2021.
Yes, yeah, you know, I love playing in Europe so much. And I always thought, like, when my rock and roll days were done, I was like, oh, man, that's it. Like, my dream of playing music around the world is over, because country music doesn't exist anywhere except for
but
here.
But it does there.
Yeah, and I found that out the hard way, the easy way, really, actually. So it was, you know, when I was, so as you probably have seen, like, I've become sort of well-known for my crazy music videos, and as a... you know, we were coming up to like my 3rd or 4th single, and we were kind of just trying to figure out an angle for it. And we started Googling like people's reactions to my music on YouTube. And we came across these Italian line dancers that were, you know, they'd be in the streets of Milan. And then we came across these French line dancers in the streets of Bordeaux. And it was just like, okay, we have to go there and meet these people. Like, that would be the coolest video. So luckily, I ended up meeting a guy named Franck Bouchereau, who is a French music promoter, but he comes to Canada because he loves Canadian country music. So we hung out, and he liked what I did, and he started booking me on festivals over there. So I got an excuse to go over, play my first festival in France, which is a huge success, and we got to shoot a music video in France, Hungary, and Italy, and yeah, that kind of got the ball rolling over there. So now, working with this promoter, Franck, he's booked me for another show in France in June, and then a show in Spain in October, and I'm working on some stuff in the UK. So it's great, you know. And I find, as an independent, I have the opportunity to explore these things and try and develop these markets on my own terms.
And that's cool, because that might not have happened if you were with a label, right?
Yeah, they might not have found that the money was best spent in a market that's not the domestic market. But mm-hmm. I just think that the more the merrier when it comes to a fan base, and especially in a market that's like emerging with country music. Like in the UK, it's really starting to bubble up. Mm-hmm. They're really fascinated with I guess the culture around it. That's not something that's supernatural to them. So really, really interesting take on things. And in France, it's all very throwback. Like it's all, they love line dancing. They love cowboy hats and cowboy boots, and they love the classics, Alan Jackson and, you know, George Jones. They want to hear all those cover songs. And mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, me being a terrible Canadian, I speak very, very, very poor French, but I've been learning, but I'm sure I've proudly proclaimed that I am a potato on the microphone or something.
A potato.
I honestly do think that the caliber is right on par with America. Mm-hmm. They just have a bigger industry than we do down there. And that's why they get bigger stars. You know, there's more people and it's like more money in it. But honestly, if you look at, you know, like Jess Moskowitz, for example, I don't think there's a better singer out there than Jess or mm-hmm. Dallas, or, you know, these people are top world-class artists in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So are you.
I'm just saying. At least that's what I tell my wife.
I'm just saying, Dan. I'm just saying. You have been doing some pretty special live shows as well. You've been performing this summer. Tell us about the ones that you've been doing.
You mean like the digital stuff?
Yeah, because you created Canada's first and biggest digital festival.
That's been really another positive thing that's come out of all this. I mean, the first Dieselbird festival that we did was back right when the pandemic first started. So, you know, I was on my way to the airport to go on a Mexican vacation. And we got, you know, we were like, okay, we're going to go unless the prime minister says they're discouraging international travel. And of course, on our way there, we heard it. So we canceled our trip and turned around. We were all sad, and I was sitting at home, and I called my friend Travis, who does all my videos and all my branding and photos. And he's just kind of like almost a partner in my project. He's always along for the ride. And we were just talking about how it was getting crazy out there, and all we were seeing is these artists sitting in their living room like playing acoustic guitar, and how we thought, like, yeah, that's fine, but just kind of boring. There's got to be a better way to do that. So we came up with this idea of like, okay, let's be the first to the table here. We'll quickly make something that hasn't been done before. We'll do a digital music festival. We'll do it all on Instagram. We'll call in all of the favors from all of our friends, you know, from all these years of touring. And it was crazy. Like the first call I made, I think, was to my friend Andrew Hyatt and Nice Horse. And from there, it just seems like, you know, it was like, oh, who's doing it? And then I'd say a couple artists, and it would grow and just continue to become its own monster. And before we knew it, I had like Dallas Smith and Brett Kissel and Marianas Trench and like Sean Hook and Tennille Towns, and I had Terry Clark and Corb Lund, and it was just like, it became this thing where we had all the biggest artists in Canada on my Instagram. And it was wild. Like we grew the Dieselbird Instagram.
Who came up with the name?
Well, the name kind of came from Travis and I, the guy I was just mentioning, my videographer, we were scheming to do a festival one day, and we wanted to make it like this alternative culture, motorsports, tattoos, rock and roll kind of festival. And we thought Dieselbird was a cool name. We just kind of came up with it. But this just happened to be around the time when the digital festival idea came up. We're like, oh, let's just call it Dieselbird. It sounds cool. I don't know what it means, but we like it.
It's cool. I never even, you know, would ever have thought of something like that. And it's just so different. and I love it.
Yeah, well, the funny thing too is, like, I have my friend Jeff Dalziel is a producer, and his nickname is Diesel.
I know.
And my friend Joel Bird is a sound guy, and so he's the Bird, and everyone just thought we named it after Jeff and Joel for some reason.
I thought maybe it might have had something to do with Jeff along the way, somewhere in there.
Just a happy accident, but... So, yeah, I mean, that was, like, the first iteration of Diesel Bird. And then as the pandemic just wouldn't go away, we wanted to do something live because we felt like after we did the digital festival, that became a thing. And we're like, okay, we want our thing here. Our mode of operation is we want to be first in the party to do something cool and then move on. So we came up with this idea for the Hotel Music Festival. And we had... Ramada downtown Calgary wanted to play ball with us, so me, Travis, and our partners, Chuck Ehrman, who's a promoter, Joel Jelinski, who's a good friend to the music business in Alberta, and he's a great, like, brand strategic kind of business manager type. We partnered with our friend Russ, who does digital marketing, and we just had this, like, little all-star team, and we figured, like, okay, let's go and make this hotel festival something where we can set up a big stage and lights on a pool deck, and people can buy the hotel rooms that look down on the pool deck. So we just had this thought that just started, it was the same thing. Like, we just started getting people interested, and we had sponsors coming on. And then we were able to partner with 604 Records, and they sent us out some of my favorite people, JoJo Mason, Andrew Hyatt.
We talked about this with JoJo. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was so great. And JoJo ended up using the footage for one of his music videos too, mm-hmm. which is cool. But, yeah, and it was a big success. You know, it sold out in a couple of days. And
well, it was great because so many people, you know, nobody had to leave the room. They could do their own party in their own room and be able to overlook the pool and be able to see everything. It was like such a cool idea. Really great idea.
It really did work out. We were really proud of it. And now we have this really great brand, and we've been talking about what's next for the brand, and we've got some ideas percolating, and hopefully we can continue to, you know, be a bit of an innovator and a bit of a leader in bringing live music to people.
I'm going to call it, like, January. I'm going to have you back on the show. There's going to be a whole page full of stuff you've done again.
I hope so.
You are such an inventor. Like, it's just such an amazing, you know, opportunity just to be able to sit in your mind for a day and just see the ideas you come up with.
Oh, I think it's just that it all comes from a place of, like, fear, or just, like, if I'm not sprinting, I'm standing still. So I think that's what it is.
I can hear you. I was in there going, nope, he can't sit and do this one. That's just not happening. Okay, now you've raised over $60,000 for Unison as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, that was kind of a big part of the point of the first Diesel Bird is that, you know, we were seeing a lot of the people that we love in this industry that we see on the road, you know, the monitor technicians, the live sound guys, the people that are tour managing, you know, anybody that's in that world, their income was gone, and there's no backstop for people like that. And these are some of our best friends. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were doing our part to kind of keep the industry as healthy as it could be through the pandemic. And Unison is an organization that provides support, both financially and, you know, if there's a lot of mental health problems in the music industry, and they provide mm-hmm. some support there as well. So, yeah, it just seemed like something close to home that we could get involved with. So that was a big part of the digital festival, and we also raised an additional, like, I don't know, 10 or 15,000 or something for Unison on the hotel festival. So yeah,
that's
it's been great. And honestly, like, I don't have, like, an official tie with Unison or whatever. I just kind of said, hey, we're going to send you some money. That was it.
No, that's really great, because, you know, it goes a long way, you know, just anything, you know, to be able to help out people right now. And you've just done such a great job. Now, you've been touring all these countries we're talking about, and you've been doing these writing trips to these countries as well. What has been your favorite moment so far?
It's so interesting, because, like, every moment has its own little special appeal. But I think my eyes were opened when I went to France in 2019, I think. And I played a music festival there, and I could see that these people probably don't know who I am, but they were relating to the music. And I had, like, I started sound checking, and there was, like, 500 people line dancing in my sound check. And I was like, whoa, this really does, you know, this maybe is bigger than I thought. Like maybe it translates, you know, music has that kind of a power where, you know, maybe they don't understand the lyrics, but they feel it the same way. I feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a pretty cool moment. That's one I'll definitely not forget. I mean, I've had a couple of those moments throughout my career, but in the last couple of years, that's definitely one that lit me up pretty good.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, you've played at the Whiskey A Go-Go and the Bluebird. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, that was, I'm just, you know, I feel like I'm going to have a lot of good stories for my kids one day, but.
I'd say.
back in the rock and roll days, I could, you know, the band was on our last record or just about to record our last record. And we had slugged it out. Tupelo Honey, I should have mentioned that. Tupelo Honey was the band name. And we'd slugged it out in Canada for a long time and had a great career. You know, we got to play arenas with Bon Jovi and tour everywhere from LA to Halifax to Whitehorse and back, you know. And it was an amazing experience. A lot of good songs on the radio and everything. But I had, like I said, part of my dream has always been to travel internationally. And the ultimate goal for me is always to make music with my friends and travel the world. So that's what I wanted to do. And I started saying, okay, guys, I'm going to book us some shows in LA and we're just going to see what happens. We're going to see if anyone cares, if we can dig in a little bit or just experience another music scene. So I just started digging and I was able to book about a week of shows down in the LA kind of region. And one of them was the very famous Whiskey A Go-Go where fans like Guns N' Roses got their start. So that was a cool little rock and roll moment for us.
Wow. Wow. I'm telling you, I just have this funny feeling like next year, just the things that you're going to accomplish, like regardless, like you've made the most out of a very difficult situation for a lot of people and you've helped out a lot of people along the way. And, you know, you should be so proud of everything that you have accomplished. Congratulations on everything. I have a feeling,
thanks, Kim, that's really nice of you to say.
I have a feeling this is just going to be the beginning, as I said, for what you've got in store for us with this new music that you've been working on and everything that you've been doing with other artists, both on the writing side of things and producing. So you are so talented, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that. I think it's, I don't know, I just kind of, I feel like I'm always just fumbling my way through, but in a bit of a fearless way. So I think that's the way to go.
Well, you're so humble. You are so special. You are so special. Okay. How excited are you when it comes to the possibility of what digital could do? Like, you've done this, but like, that's just the first thing. You know, we've got, I have a funny feeling there's just going to be some really cool things that you're going to be doing that are really different in different countries.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so. Like, I had a little taste of what the power of technology is when it comes to working with people overseas this year, because I was working on music for Clayton, his rock and roll record, the band The Congregation. And, you know, I had gotten back from a trip to Europe where I was writing in England with a guy that I really hit it off with, this guy, Dan Weller, he was a metal guitar player in like a legendary metal band, but we were writing sappy love songs together. and we just, you know, we were just fast friends. And I knew it was a guy that it was just like Clayton that I think would fit in. So when Clay approached me to help him get some music together for his rock and roll project, his side project, I was like, yes, this is 100% what I want to do. And we started working on it and I started getting English Dan involved and we just kind of started getting to the point where we had a record finished and we wanted to record it. And originally we wanted to go to England to do the record, but you know, due to COVID, obviously we couldn't. So we figured out this system where I was on my computer in Edmonton and Clayton was on his computer in Bonnyville, 3 hours away. And Dan Weller was in London, England. And there's a program called Audio Movers that we all loaded into our sessions. And another program that allowed Dan to control Clayton's computer. And all were on Zoom at the same time. So we could all see each other. And we were all recording Clayton's vocal at the same time, but in three different places around the world.
Wow.
It was truly amazing. And it turned out great. Like, you know, we got songs on the radio now and the song
crazy.
Just got synced on the Jan Arden show and stuff. So, yeah.
I know. I just heard about that too, you know, with Jan Arden, because she was talking about you the other day.
What? What are you talking about?
She was talking about you the other day. It was like 2 days ago. I can't remember. She was doing a live feed, and she had brought you up and how talented and such an innovator.
No way. Are you serious? That's amazing. If that's the case, get me in touch with her.
She is such a fan of yours.
Let's go with that. Yep.
Yep. Huge fan. So you are such a trailblazer. I just can't wait to see. It's so exciting to see what you've started and how many other artists that could follow, you know, in your footstep and just things that you've been doing. It's really, really cool. So excited.
Thanks. Yeah, man. I think that, I don't know, like sometimes people ask me like, hey, what do you think? Some advice would be for new artists, and honestly, I feel like it's just a matter of just doing it, just like digging in and working as hard as you can, and understanding where there's room to learn and room to grow. And I think like I still feel like I'm learning a lot from a lot of people that I work with. So yeah, I mean, I think in the music industry, as long as somebody doesn't have an ego, they can really learn a lot and get a lot of places with a good work ethic.
I think that, you know, you've got the experience when it comes to being able to build the fans one at a time, and you've gained that respect from us all because you work so hard. And I think that's the point, is that you have that drive, but you have that love for what you do, and you're open to all those possibilities and opportunities to be able to learn from the new artists and just the different things. You seem to evolve all the time.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I honestly, when I see some of these new artists coming out, I have a lot to learn from people that just started sometimes. Like that girl, Haley Benedict, I was just talking about, like her online presence and her ability to like get fans on things like TikTok is something that I'm not an expert at. So, I'm asking her questions the same time she's asking me questions.
I haven't got that far yet. I've got so much to do.
I have so much
to do now. It's just like so hard to be able to hold on to that hat. And you could spend 24/7 just on social media alone, just putting your stuff out there. I'm just lucky. Got to get the podcast up, the articles up. And, you know, it's crazy everything that we're doing.
It's so much to manage. And like the people that are really successful in those platforms are posting like 3 or 5 times a day. And like, oh my God, I got other things I got to do.
I just don't. I end up doing it late at night because that's when I'm done all the interviews and the production and, you know, the writing. Bill laughs at me all the time from Sharp 9 because he'll like, you still up? You're supposed to be resting. You're supposed to be this. And it's like, I can say the same thing to him because he's doing the same thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got an interesting job too. He's got to wake up at 3 a.m. He lives in Vancouver, so he can bug people in Halifax about playing people on the radio.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. A lot of coffee in that guy's world.
Holy Lord. Well, you know what? He's got such a great sense of humor, and so does Jeff. Talk about working with these guys when it comes to the new single that you got out right now.
Oh, it's the best thing ever to build a team of your friends. And, you know, I'll start with Jeff Dalziel. He's a guy that I met when I was 19. Like, I've been working with Jeff for a million years. He's the first real producer I think I ever worked with. And he's been a mentor to me in a lot of ways. And as far as attitudes in the studio and attitudes towards music. And so, yeah, I mean, it's always great. I mean, sometimes we don't agree on certain things when it comes to strategy, but that's like kind of the point of having a team, is being able to talk through things like that. Mm-hmm. And Bill's another guy, you know, everybody that's shown me love on the ground floor has got my respect forever. So, you know, Bill was right there at the beginning. I think I met Bill because I was working on some music for, I think it was probably Tupelo Honey, and I got Bill to track a single.
Oh.
And the song kind of flopped, to be honest, but I just loved Bill, and I thought I loved the way he approached things. And so I started sending him work for artists that I was producing, Lexi Strait, Brian Finley, a bunch of pop artists. And I just got such a good vibe from him, and I loved how transparent he was. Mm-hmm. And he's just a guy that's not about taking checks. You know, he's trying to build something.
He loves what he does.
He's just a good heart. So Bill's another guy I have a lot of respect for, and a guy I love working with. So it's been so good having my friends along with me for the ride. And a lot of times, like with Jeff and I guess Bill to some capacity, like we all came into country music together because of my project, like, mm-hmm. you know, and we merged on the scene at the same time. And same thing with Travis, you know, and now Travis is doing videos for Gore Bamford and Brett Kissel and the Dead South and a lot of the biggest artists in Canada. So we've, you know, it's, I've heard this said before by songwriters, but people in the industry seem to build a bit of a squad, and then they come up together and it becomes a bit of a story as a group, which I love that. I think I'm big into team cohesion.
You get so used to the people that you know that are going to produce, that are on the same wavelength as you, like when it comes to your work ethic and, you know, people that you respect. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. When you can keep that momentum going with those same people, you're going to be golden every time.
Yeah. And it just kind of gives you, like, when somebody wins, other people win, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like it leads to work for all of us, whether it's Bill tracking something that I've produced, or Jeff getting me on a song with an artist he's working on, or Travis gets a gig with another band because they liked what they did on my video. And it's just, it's cool that way. It just helps, everybody helps everybody.
I know I'm venturing into deep, very deep water. Because soon as everything settles down a little bit, I'm going to be doing a show with Jeff and Bill.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know. I've just got to prepare myself. And, you know, I know I'm going to be laughing the entire time.
It might be a long one. Yeah.
I guarantee it will be. Yeah. I guarantee it will be. Wouldn't it be great if you popped in?
Sure. You let me know. I'm in.
Oh, that would be so awesome to have the three of you at the same time. That would be just such a fantastic show. I'm going to make that happen.
So okay, I'm well, holding I'm you here to for it. You.
I'm holding you to it. Okay, so let's talk about this brand new single, because this song is so much fun. So this is the new single, Really Shouldn't Drink Around You. I want to hear where the lyrics came from, the title for this one.
Well, there's actually a really interesting music industry story on this one. So it's typically, like, you know, I write all my own stuff all the time, and I don't really take outside cuts. But when I was working on my record, Juliet, that came out in 2019, Jeff and I were pitched a song from an American publisher for me. And we listened to it and we're like, whoa, what is this? This is, you know, we weren't really expecting to want to dig into a song, but the song was just so right for what I do. And then we looked up who the writers were on it, and it was like Shane McAnally, who's written for everybody in the entire world. And Josh Osborne and, you know, Trevor Rosen from Old Dominion.
Wow.
So it's like some of the best writers in Nashville were on this tune. And I was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, why not? Let's do it. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, if anything, it'll help me build a relationship, hopefully, with these writers and their people and all this stuff. So we did the song. Jeff came out to Edmonton, we produced it, you know, money was paid, it was all done. And it was just before I was about to put it on the record, I thought I would send it. I told Jeff just to send it to the publisher and see if we could, you know, drum up some future opportunities with songwriting and all this stuff. I kind of thought maybe it's a leverage angle into Nashville. And we got this sort of scattered email back that was saying, like, hold on, you can't put this out. And I guess, you know, with these kinds of songs, this is a hard lesson I learned, is that there's a lot of people involved in these American cuts with these big artists. And, and so apparently, I don't know if it happened after they'd heard our version, but one of the writers had a company that was developing an artist and they wanted to use the song for him. And so through some sort of communication breakdown somewhere in the chain, turns out I didn't have first dibs on the song. And I was just like crushed. I couldn't believe it that I was... First of all, that I'd spent all this money making this song that was going to go nowhere, but also that the fact that I thought it was a strong candidate for me to release as a single. So, I mean, they put it with this artist, Teddy Robb, in America, and it was cool. Like, they did kind of like a beachy, really soft pop version of it. And I don't think it did what they wanted it to do for him, so they decided they'd make it into a duet. And they put on Megan Patrick, and I was like, oh, come on, a Canadian? God. So then I had to wait even longer, and luckily, you know, it wasn't certified CanCon, so it wasn't Canadian enough for it to be played on radio up here. So that's fine, so I just let it die, and eventually when the dust settled on that one, I was like, okay, finally, I think it's ready. And then I was working with Haley, so I got Haley on the song, and we put it out, and it was just like...
Instant.
Finally, you know, it was like a sigh of relief.
Well, I'm telling you, it's just a fan favorite. It's just when you watch the video too, I absolutely love it. It's just so much fun to watch. I just love the beat. I love everything. I love everything about this tune.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think it's fun. And it's like, I like a duet that's not a sappy duet. You know, I like a sort of a sassy kind of a drunken love song. It's,
well, the song says it all, right?
Yeah, there's a bit of a theme in my across most of my lyrics that seem to be drinking and falling in love. So maybe my wife has some explaining to do.
Uh-oh. We'll have to get her on, too. She's going to have to give us a different version of this.
Exactly.
Oh, we're going to play this one right now. I love Haley Jensen because she's amazing. She's got such star power in her vocals.
Oh, so good. Like, and she was uncomfortable singing this song because it's a lot lower than she's used to singing. But, you know, I was like, no, you sound fantastic. Don't worry about it. And I think I was right. I think she sounds incredible.
Oh, yes, she does. Yes, she does. So we're going to play this one right now. And that is Really Shouldn't Drink Around You featuring Haley Jensen here on Music's Journey.
Can be friends, but hey, let's be honest. There ain't really no such thing as gin and platonic. A-Womp is gonna turn into two, is gonna turn into you and me. At a quarter to three with four boots under the bed. Yeah, you know where it's headed to. I really shouldn't drink around you. It's a risk, it's a gamble. A little more. Another shot. There ain't any way to muster up the strength that I haven't got. Yeah, wine's gonna turn into why not. Turning the lights off, blurring the lines, and in no time we're doing things that friends don't do. Really shouldn't drink around you. It's a risk, it's a gamble. A little more than I can handle. Just a touch of a buzz is enough. Thing is gin and platonic. I really shouldn't drink around you. It's a risk, it's a gamble. A little more than I can handle. Just a touch of a buzz is enough to get me thinking things. I really shouldn't think about you. We end up on the fast track, getting back to where we left the past at. Think I would've learned my lesson by now, but I never do.
That was Really Shouldn't Drink Around You by Dan Davidson. Man, this is such a good one featuring Haley Jensen. This is such a cool song. This has been so much fun to be able to hear and know that internationally, your country duet here has been so positive, so well received, and it has done so well on the charts. You have to be so pleased.
Yeah, it's really starting to get some momentum. You know, it's, the big thing is I like to see it on those stations where it spans a pretty wide audience. So seeing it on Sirius XM being added recently and starting to move up there is really exciting to me. And on YouTube, we've got, you know, it's about 50,000 views in the last 2 weeks. So
I know. Well, I can't help it because I've played the video back a few times, and I think it's just the simplicity, but it allows the lyrics just to take the story. And it's just like, it's so cool the way you guys have done it. It's just such good take on it. What did you think about the video?
Well, it's so hard to do a video for a duet with somebody that lives halfway around the world. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think if it was, 2019, Dan, pre-pandemic Dan, we would have just jumped on a plane and went there and done it, but couldn't bring that guy out. So yeah, we just had to get a little creative, and I thought, you know, it's been a while since we've done like a very country video, and mm-hmm. and like doing all these interviews with Australia, I think they find it interesting where I live, and you know, like right out my back door, I could go for a walk and be in a farmer's field pretty much. So I'm living the most country looking place in Canada. I might as well use it to, you know, to my advantage. So we just kind of came up with something that was kind of simple, but we wanted to showcase a bit of the natural sort of country beauty that's around here in central Alberta, and figure out a way to bring Haley all the way from downtown Sydney, Australia into the video through a little TV magic.
It was so cool. I'm telling you. You're the digital king right now.
Oh, let's go with that. I'll put that on my bio.
I'll put it on there for you.
Perfect.
I'll put it on the article. Not a problem.
I need all the help I can get.
I want to remind fans that you can get a copy of Really Shouldn't Drink Around You on the streaming platforms. Add it to your playlist and share it on all your socials. It helps to expose others that may follow you, bringing a whole new audience to the music that you love. So it's a really cool opportunity for different parts of the world to be able to hear everything that you've got on your playlist. So this one would be so super to have on your playlist to add and put it on your socials as well. So it's really cool. You can also contact your local country radio station and have it added to the rotation. So what a cool song. You've got so much going on. What else have you got coming up for shows?
Well, I'm doing my last few of the year. Actually, this week is pretty busy. On tomorrow, actually, Clayton and I are doing a singer-songwriter set in Lacombe, Alberta, and that's something that we've done a few times, and we sell out this little place, and we got a bit of a rapport going on, so it's not as, you know, it's not as like, hey, nice to meet you, as a Nashville songwriters round is. So we got some jokes and some stories to tell. Yeah. So we're doing that one, and then I get to play the CFR, the Canadian Finals Rodeo, in Red Deer, Alberta, and that's going to be fun. So it's like, you know, a classic.
Love to be at
beer
that
gardens.
One.
Yeah, so that's going to be cool, and they have an all-star band that's opening the show, and that's most of the Brett Kissel band with a guest singer. This time it's going to be Drew Gregory.
Yeah,
so that's going to be cool. And then my last show that I have booked for 2021 is
your hometown show, right?
My hometown show. Yeah, we got Clay coming out, and we're going to be doing another singer-songwriter thing. And it's right down the road from my house. I'm so excited. I don't think I've ever done a hometown show. Never played in St. Albert. Oh, I did the rodeo once. One time I did the rodeo. But yeah, and then, you know, I figured, like, since I was working with Haley Benedict so much and she lives here, she's going to come out and open the show, and we'll just kind of have like a, you know, a little group hang.
Very, very nice, because that you're going to be telling stories and singing some acoustic songs, you know, with your best friends, with Clayton Bellamy, and that Cattail concert series, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's fun for me, because I don't, you know, typically I'm known for like being the guy to get the party started, being on the front side of a show, opening up for the Roadhammers or Brett or, you know, one of these guys. So it's nice for me to sit and kind of try and deliver the songs in a little bit of a different way, and showcase a different side of what I can do.
So that one's going to be on November 20th. Where can everybody check out and get tickets and everything?
For November 20th, you can get tickets at cattailconcertseries.com. And for November 6th, the CFR, I don't know if this will be out. This will probably be out after that. But yeah, it's a free show, so hopefully people can wander down and see some live music and maybe not have to drive home.
Well, I am so excited for you and everything that you are doing. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a whole list. I'm telling you, January, you're going to be back on the show.
I'm working on it.
and everybody I got coming up in the next 2 weeks, you have worked with.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
yeah.
So cool.
So I'm telling you, it's just Dan, and more Dan. And
perfect.
And more Dan. And it's just, we talk about you a lot. Your ears must be burning over there. I'm telling you.
Oh, I love it. That's so good. Yeah. No, my ever-expanding ego needs this kind of fuel.
No, your wife might not say that.
But... yeah. She's like, stop telling him he's good.
Well, that's so, so cool. Congratulations on everything. Now, you have been working, as I said, so hard. I'm not kidding. It's just like ridiculous when I listen to everything you got going on in 1 year. But just since January, you know, the stuff that you've got going, it's an insane musical journey you are on. How does it feel to accomplish as much as you have in your career already?
I mean, I always find that it's just like everything that I do that I'm proud of is just, it's kind of a door to the next thing. So it does feel like a journey. Honestly, it really does. It's just, you know, I'm always just excited to finish something, learn something about it, and try and see how I can leverage that into the next thing. So I honestly don't spend too much time, like, maybe I should, enjoying the moment after something is a little bit successful, because I feel like I'm already scheming on how to do it again, or if I can do it again. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's I think it's the momentum I find addicting in the music mm-hmm. industry when it comes to, you know, like, as an artist, every little success is great, but it's stressful because it's always, you know, what have you done for me lately in this business?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what I enjoy about getting involved in lots of different things in this world, is it allows me to build a story around what I'm doing, and that helps out a lot with my artist career. So yeah, I'm just, you know, happy to be here.
Well, creative people keep going, right? A lot of people will tell us you need to take a breather and enjoy the moment. We do, but it's just our head's already going.
Yeah.
And I think you're from that same cloth, right?
I think so. I mean, I like to, at the end of the day, I think the music industry is most rewarding when you create something that comes from, you know, somebody's soul, something that speaks to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's largely about connecting. And I find that whether I write a great song one day with somebody that, you know, we click and we develop a cool story that means something to us, like, or if it's, you know, I just had a great show and the audience understood what I was doing and it was just coming out. Like, those are the moments that I feel like I kind of live for. So mm-hmm. anything I can do to reach those moments where I'm connecting with people and making someone happy, it feels like a win, and it feels like I'm doing something with my life.
Well, it's nice too, because with all the success that you've had, it's really special to hear how much you give back to communities. Like, you've always got your pulse on what's going on in the country. And, you know, what's something that needs to be addressed, you know, you and Clayton, there's so many, like, the Roadhammers are always involved when it comes to something that needs to be addressed. And you guys mm-hmm. have done an amazing job in being able to just host events, and you got your thinking caps on, you just make it happen.
And, oh, I appreciate that, Kim. Thanks for that.
Really, really special. And we really thank you for that. Now, you are releasing a new video pretty much almost every month. As I said, you just got that thinking cap going. You must not sleep. You must not sleep at nighttime.
I know, it's funny, I actually don't. I'm a terrible sleeper.
Yep, it's me too. Me too. See, Bill, you and I are just going to be sitting on there going, okay, what's next?
Yeah, that's it. Just a bunch of Scorpios probably.
No, this is a Libra, which is really strange. I'm Libra.
Okay.
Which is bizarre, you know, for somebody. Okay. Now, with you, when it comes to defining moments in your career, especially when you look back at the last year and a half in the pandemic, has it changed what you thought was so important and what is today for you?
I think, you know, I've unlocked a way of thinking over the last couple of years that's, I think, a really good mindset for artists, and especially independent artists, to have. And it's, I guess the whole summary of it might be that you don't need to be on the top 10, or you don't need to be, you know, the most widely decorated artist to have a career and have a good career and to have mm-hmm. fans in this industry. Because, I mean, it's no secret that there is a bit of a perceived value that goes along with the artists that might be considered like the top 10 artists in Canada. And largely that's tied to marketing budgets of mm-hmm. record labels and, you know, how it works with the CCMAs and radio play and everything. You might hear some artists that are on the top 10 that might not, you know, be able to sell as many tickets as an artist you've never heard of before. So it's
true.
It's all very subjective. So I think I've found that the more successes I've had on the back end of things that just add to my story or add to my ability to sell hard tickets is the real goal, not getting, you know, the big awards or like having the top 10 hits, which I would love to have both of those things more often. Mm-hmm. But
it's more fulfilling though when you're doing it the way that you're thinking, because a lot of the young artists coming out, they just want to write that number one or get that number one song, and they're mm-hmm. not looking at the longevity because yeah, it's on radio, but then radio moves on. And
yeah, and it is very What Have You Done For Me Lately, and it's mm-hmm. and there is a lot of luck and timing and all that kind of stuff. And I've just found that the more I learn about the industry and how things work and what people do, it gives me the ability to have a longer career and find ways to be able to survive it. Because I mean, it is, anybody that's done this for more than 10 years has learned a lot, has been through a lot, and you know, has a lot of respect for me, because it's not an easy industry to stay in. Yeah, so I mean, I think that's my biggest thing, like all these milestones I've had that seem big for me, that I've kind of done on my own largely, like for example, like getting a top 10 in Australia. I have a lot of artists contacting me and asking me, like, you know, how did you do that? This mm-hmm. is crazy. But in my mind, these are the artists that get regular top 10s and stuff in Canada, or you know, so mm-hmm. it's this perceived value isn't everything. And I think, you know, the grass is always greener. So mm-hmm. it's just great for an artist to know their path and to always have their head on a swivel.
Exactly. Now, you also like working full time with the in-house branding ad team. I think that you know how to brand yourself, first of all. You know, that makes mm-hmm. that makes a huge difference, you know, when it comes to your own career and staying independent and having, you know, accomplished as much as you have as an independent artist. But, you know, like this is just another tip of the iceberg of what you're doing, you know, with this in-house branding and the ad team.
Yeah, I mean, those are my buddies that I work with all the time, and they've put a lot of time into my career, and they want to see it do well. So that's having, you know, Travis, who does all of my videos, as I mentioned, be involved in the visual direction of everything. I think it glues it together a little bit. And for me, you know, I'm at a point now where I'm just about to hopefully release another record this winter here. And then I'm going to be sinking into the studio, and I'm going to be trying to grow a little bit on my next batch of songs. Like I want to try some new things that I haven't done before. And then, you know, I just feel like it's healthy for an artist to attempt to not repeat themselves. So
see, telepathy.
Yeah.
Telepathy. I knew January you're going to be doing something different.
You're right.
I just knew.
You had it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm, and when it comes down to the branding thing, that's that Travis and Russ, my friends that are on all my videos with me, they're going to have a lot to say about that too. And I always appreciate the input. They know what I've been listening to lately, and we communicate a lot about the things that I'd like to, you know, maybe move past in my creative mm-hmm. output. And yeah, so it's going to be a bit of a, I think you'll see probably 2022, Dan might have a little bit of a different flavor than what,
oh,
you know, people
I'm
might expect.
I'm so intrigued.
Yeah.
Shouldn't surprise me, but very intrigued.
Yeah. So, I mean, I who knows if it'll be something that people resonate with, but I feel like I'm going to open some more doors that I haven't tried yet and see where it goes.
It's funny, when I had Shane Connery Bolk on just the last week, and having that conversation with him, the two of you are so similar.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You two have to sit down together.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Hey, okay. Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
Yeah, because he's that entrepreneur. He's always he's evolving, and like he's still doing lots with One Bad Son, but he's done his new solo for Shiver and the comic strips that he's doing right now and as an illustrator and stuff. But he is just so brilliant, and listening to his story is very similar to yours. Very,
very
similar.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah. I've only really ever met Kurt from One Bad Son, so I'll have to look him up.
Oh, yes. I'm manifesting that when you guys have to do something together.
Like it.
100%.
All right, done.
That could be a part
I'm always up for it.
That could be a part of that 2022 sound, right?
Well, maybe this is your new gig. You're the connector now.
I think so. Now, those videos that you're talking about, you know, for the country music, the line dancing for the Hungarian cowboy, converting the garage into the Starship Enterprise, stop motion logo, and more. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's, as a newer artist, that was part of my thing. It's like, okay, I don't want to do what everybody does. I don't want to do, you know, dirt road, riverbank, Daisy Duke videos, because I think we've all seen those. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, what's going to make an artist memorable is personality. So, I like to have a lot of fun and not take myself too seriously. So we came up with these concepts early on, and you know, with the success of Found, when that video came out and it was all of a sudden top 20 on CMT on like my first song, it was like, okay, so people like this kind of crazy stuff. And from then we shot the Barn Burner video in Tokyo and dressed me up like a halfway between John Wayne and Elton John and plopped me in the middle of the biggest city in the world, and I just walked around and people thought I was weird on camera, so it was an easy video.
I'm and, telling you, to come up with yeah. that one, Starship Enterprise. Yep, Dan Davison.
Oh, that one was so funny. Like, my wife was like, what are you doing with your life? Just like bought $500 worth of cardboard and literally replicated the bridge of the Starship Enterprise and had my friends dressed up like really discount budget versions of Star Trek characters. What was cool about that one is Colonel Chris Hadfield, like the most Canadian, famous Canadian astronaut, retweeted it and was talking about it on his Twitter.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like everything you touch.
Well, yeah, that was pretty cool. And we, from there, you know, like I was saying, we got to shoot that video in Europe and we went to meet the wacky Eastern European line dancers. And that was just like a cultural, you know, exchange. It was we made really good friends with those people. And I still keep in touch with the Hungarians and the Italians. And they took us, you know, they took the time to like really introduce us to their country and show us around, because like obviously we had zero grasp of Italian or Hungarian, especially Hungarian. It's like Klingon. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But yeah, so you know, that was one of those great life experiences, and falls right into my personal mantra of, you know, make music and travel the world with your friends. So that was a good day at work.
Is there a place that you think of that you would love, you know, to take your wife and just to be able to expose her to the different cultures and to some of the experiences that you go on traveling, but a place that you haven't been to yet that you would love to go?
Well, you know, that's one of the hardest parts about doing what I do is I get to do all this cool stuff and really fun experiences, but I don't ever get to take her with me, and that always kind of bums me out a little bit. But so I mean, as far as places that are on the list that I'd love to go see and love to go experience, I don't think it would really work with the country music, but you never know. I'd love to go to like South Korea. I think that would be a cool place to experience.
Not work or, with country? Are you yeah. kidding? They love country.
Oh, I could definitely do my Korean pop stuff there. But
no, they love country. Love do they really? Country. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome. I'll have to figure that out because, yeah, that would be a cool place. But, you know, this year I'm actually doing a bit of an adventure. In June I have a show in France and I'm working on some stuff in the UK. And so my wife and I thought, you know, like our kids are really little still. Like, let's just go on an adventure. So I think we're going to try and basically move to Europe for a month.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're going to take the kids. We'll set up shop probably in France and we'll, you know, we'll experience daily life there. Maybe we'll, you know, probably be out, not in Paris, we'll be on a smaller town or something, like tour.
What and, a great experience for the kids and for your wife to be able to be there with you for that.
Yeah, it's something that we've always wanted to do, so I think we're going to try and do that this year, and my kids are both in French immersion, so we'll test their skills.
That would be such a cool experience, because they're going to that's even going to give them more incentive to be able to learn the language.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're it's amazing what these kids know. Like, they don't even know that they know
how to speak
very fluently, and it's crazy. So I've been taking weekly French lessons now with a French tutor over the internet. She's in Calgary, and it's been great. Like, it's
what can you say? What's the hardest thing you've learned so far?
Right now, it's more just understanding things and building my vocabulary. So I'm on the new side of it still, but you know, I spent a week in Quebec a couple of weeks ago. And it was great. You know, I was starting to like, it's starting to sound more normal to me. And I feel like up until this point, it's probably just being an Albertan, but I feel like a bad Canadian because I just had no French whatsoever. So I feel like I'm starting at the bottom, but I'm really enjoying it.
What do you order for breakfast when you're there?
In Quebec?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? I think it was just, we just drank so much coffee until it was time to spend way too much money on dinner.
I know, every time I've gone through Montreal and Quebec, I always, oh man, I got to remember how to say what I want for breakfast, because they insist on you being able to say it yourself.
Really? Yeah.
And then they get such a kick out of you trying to describe what you're trying to say. if you can't say it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Like, I'd always start to try, and then they'd switch to English, and it was kind of like their way of saying, okay, well, that was cute.
That was a random effort, is what they're going to say. Well, they didn't let me get away with that, because I remember a couple of the police officers that were, the Mounties that were sitting behind me, go, don't give it to her. She's got to be able to describe it. It's like, you're not going to make me do this.
Oh my God. That's
funny. It was a really funny
story.
We didn't
run into too many problems, but we've heard horror stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to try to describe, you know, bacon and the eggs, and everybody was laughing. I was like, oh yeah, that was just one of my defining moments in life.
call it a cultural learning experience.
That's right. I am so excited for you, my friend. So it's such a wonderful time in your career, and I can't wait to see what you do to break ground, you know, for some new stuff that you've got coming globally. So it's pretty exciting. You are crazy talented.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate you digging into all this stuff and giving me such good compliments today. I feel good about myself now. Go on about my day having a big smile on my face.
I think I have to open. Everybody keeps telling me I need to open up like just an inspiration show. Send out text to everybody. So what an incredible honor it is to celebrate you as a Canadian star here on the show. And I'm really, as I said, really excited to see what's going to be coming up. What shows, like, you've got the 20th coming up, and anything else that's coming that we need to mention here?
I mean, that's pretty much it for 2021. After I'm done my shows, I'm headed into the studio. I'm going to be making some new music.
Do you know when you're going to be releasing? Because you were talking about that just about 5 minutes ago, that you got some new music that's coming out.
Well, I have two new songs. One's called Blind Spot, and one's called Don't Judge a Beer by the Label. Mm. It's the longest title in my song catalog. And yeah, so I have those two that I'm going to be putting on a record. And my plan was to put that record out and kind of make it like the period on this chapter of my musical career. And give me some time to promote while I kind of go dark a little bit and, mm-hmm. and figure out my new direction and my new sound just kind of do a little work, because it's you know, it's the winter months in Canada, and it's the slow touring season even in a non-pandemic age. So it's the perfect time for me to really kind of dig in and get introspective about things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have you back. So you're going to let me know as soon as those songs are going to be released, right?
Of course, yeah.
Beforehand, yes. Love to have you on the show.
You'll be first to know.
I hope so. Again, so November 6th, November 20th.
That's the one.
And plus one tomorrow night with Clayton.
Correct, yeah. It's going to be fun.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure having you.
Thanks so much for having me, Kim. It was really great to chat today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. We will talk to you very soon, and you give that wife a big hug for everybody.
Will do.
Okay, take care.
See you, Kim. Thanks. Okay, bye.
A great big thank you for Dan Davidson for coming on the show. I am telling you, fans, you need to check out his Instagram and his website to catch all of the neat news and the new projects that he's got coming out. It's happening every single month, so you guys stay on top of it. I'm telling you, he's got some cool new videos as well. What a talent. I hope you've enjoyed my interview with Dan Davidson. You can catch all of my interviews for your favorite artists on musicsjourney.com. Don't forget to check out the articles written on all the latest videos, the new releases, music, and interviews with the artists that I interview here on the show at nowandthenmagazine.com. I have some exciting shows that are coming up. We've got Michelle Wright, Carolyn Don Johnson, Sean Jones, Katie Hurt, Jamie Warren, Cross Parallel, Rock Band FKB, Annika, Molly NL, 14-year-old Kea is going to be back, Lemon Cash, David Boy James, Alex Hughes, and so many more. Some exciting shows that I can't wait to bring to you. It's going to be so much fun. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. It's been a pleasure to be a part of your day here on Music's Journey. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you next time here on Music's Journey.
Say that we can be friends, but hey, let's be honest. There ain't really no such thing as gin and platonic. A-Womp is gonna turn into two, is gonna turn into you and me. At a quarter to three with four boots under the bed. Yeah, you know where it's headed to. I really shouldn't drink around you.